to begin by reading Titus 2, and this is from New King James Version. I'm going to read the whole chapter, which really isn't that long. I'll begin with verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation is appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. What a powerful, packed chapter we have here. There is so much in it. And the book of Titus was written, I think, as an instruction manual to Titus by Paul, just instructing him how the church was to operate, just giving instructions that this is the way we need to do church, so to speak. And in this chapter too, it's just packed. But we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 5 this year, predominantly the older women, the younger women. And then also, may I draw your attention to verse 10b, where he's instructing the bondservants. It ends with, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So that's where we get this key word, adorning, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like we said in Titus 2, what we see here is all age groups, genders, and even bondservants, different classes, so to speak, in society and culture, were addressed. Paul had specific words he wanted Titus to give to each segment of the church, the body of Christ there in Crete. So particularly, as I said, we're going to focus on not the older men, younger men, but the older women, younger women, and see what does God say our responsibilities are for us personally in the season of life that we find ourselves in. Older women have a responsibility to be a living, breathing example of Christ-likeness. And their lives should be teaching the younger generation. They should be living out the gospel so that the younger generation can see what does it mean to be a wife, to be a mom. And the younger women should be ready to learn from the experience of those that are older. But why do we want to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives? Why is that so important? Well, look at the end of verse 5. What is that phrase at the end? Why do we do this thing? Right, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. In other words, if we call ourselves Christian women and we're not radiating the truth of the gospel, we're not radiating true Christianity in our lives, well then in reality, we're injuring. Blaspheming there means to injure. We're injuring the testimony of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the gospel. We're giving the unsaved world a wrong perspective of who God is and of true salvation. So this is a serious matter for us. We need to take our testimony seriously, our light bearing seriously, But we see here in this passage how much we need one another, don't we? And that's what is emphasized in this book, that we do it together. We're not doing it just alone. We're adorning the Word of God by our lives as ladies together. And we should live out Christ, as Nancy Lee DeMoss uses the phrase, in such a way that we make it believable, she says. Make it believable to the world. And by making it believable to the world, we're doing two things. First, we're glorifying God. And secondly, we're proclaiming the gospel. Because as people watch your life to the day to day as you go about life, whether they're your neighbors or family members, other church people, friends, people in the workplace, they're seeing an example of Jesus Christ before them. And so Titus 2 calls us as older women, those of us that are older women, to support, to come alongside and encourage the younger women. And it teaches the younger women to learn those things from the older women. There's something that really encourages me as I get older, and that is when I see a young person, a female, a male, in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s, and they're doing this thing. They're living a life committed to Christ. That is so rare today. And when you see a young person who's enthusiastic about the Lord, get behind them. Come alongside them. Be their cheerleader, so to speak, because many of us can look back and we can remember how it felt to be swimming upstream in our culture a generation ago and how much more challenging it is today. So, we as women, we need to embrace one another, to come alongside one another, to work together to beautify the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to, if you have your book here and you want to follow, let's look at, we'll be jumping around, and I do refer to this book, chapter 1, much in this study. I can't help but throw my own thoughts and scriptures into it. But right now, let's take a look at page 20, the last paragraph. Nancy says here, "This is God's good and beautiful plan. The biblical model of older women living out the gospel and training younger women to do the same. Of younger women recognizing the value of older women in their lives. Of women adorning the gospel together. It's vital for all of us to thrive. Living our lives as Titus 2 women enables us to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. It helps our families and churches to flourish, and the beauty of the gospel to shine forth in our world." And notice that phrase there. She says it's vital for all of us to thrive. Would you say that's true? We can go at it on our own, but if we have the support and encouragement of other women, how much better is that? It makes us be able to thrive. And then I'll go on and read page 21, a few paragraphs at the top as well. "We sometimes hear life compared to a marathon," she says, "the defining mark of which is endurance. And for sure, the race of life calls for endurance over the long haul. But life is so much more than just staying the long course, gritting our teeth, and enduring. We're also meant to grow, thrive, and celebrate. We're meant to enjoy beauty, awe-inspiring, life-enriching, God-exalting beauty. And we're meant to experience the strength and encouragement that flow out of doing life together, helping each other live gospel-adorned lives that in turn adorn the gospel in the eyes of the world. So I like to envision us Christian women participating in another kind of race. We're not just solo competitors slogging it out toward a distant finish line. Instead, we're a team. We run together." And when I read this paragraph, I thought, well, that's the church. That's the body of Christ. We're together living out the gospel. She goes on to say, "Think of it as a relay, passing the baton from one person to another, each of us involved in the process, both giving and receiving, as we press on toward our destination. It's teamwork, not just individual performance that counts." And then towards the end of the page, she says, "Picture a vast field of runners, some older, some younger, some more mature, some less seasoned, and you and me right there with them. We each need our own personal relationship with God and His Word, of course. We don't want to diminish that. I'm not undermining your personal walk with the Lord. But she says, but we're not running by ourselves. God intends for our lives to intersect with one another, to carry each other forward under the strong, victorious, beautiful banner of Christ. So we see what she's trying to say, and that is, we do have our personal walk with the Lord, and that is utmost important, but we need each other. We need each other as a body of Christ. So my desire for the next 9 months is that each of us will cultivate in our own lives a deeper beauty of Christ, so to speak, but we'll also take these 9 months to encourage one another in each one's personal walk with the Lord, helping each other adorn the gospel, be adorned by the gospel, and then adorn the gospel to the world. So my desire is like Moses' prayer in Psalm 90. If you would turn to Psalm 90, somebody read verses 16 and 17 for us, please. This psalm is a prayer of Moses. Would somebody read 16 and 17?
Let thy word appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it.
Thank you, Joanne. Verse 17, that phrase there, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The beauty of the Lord our God. 2 years ago, we studied the attributes of God, and we discussed the beautiful attributes of God. What is God like? His characteristics. This is what we're to emanate in our lives. What are some of God's characteristics?
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness is good.
Long-suffering.
Okay.
Love.
Love, yes.
Sovereign.
Sovereign, good.
Joy.
Joy, good.
Peace.
Peace.
Faithful.
Yes, faithful. Good. Merciful. How about generous? God is a generous God. He's a wise God. Wise. He's true. He's holy. All these different attributes of God, the beauty of God. And Moses was saying, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And that should be our goal and our prayer as Christian women, that as we study God and His Word and learn more about Him, we're not just getting the head knowledge, but it's transforming our lives and thereby glorifying God and being a testimony to others of the gospel. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. For another wonderful verse regarding this. If somebody would read 2 Corinthians 3:18 when you find it, that would be great.
But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you, Jenny. What a beautiful work God does in our lives, doesn't He? He allows us to exchange our ugliness, our sin nature, our sinful selves, and exchange it through the work of the cross for the beauty of Jesus Christ, for Christ's likeness. And on page 17 of Adorned, I'd like to read the first paragraph there if you want to follow along. She says at the top of the page 17, I've never considered myself to be particularly beautiful in a physical sense. It's not that I think I'm unattractive or that I think there's something wrong with physical beauty. It's just not something I focused on a whole lot. Mindful of the fleeting, deceptive nature of external beauty, I've tried to focus on cultivating the kind of beauty that can't be photographed or photoshopped. Beauty of character and the heart. I love that little phrase there. I've tried to focus on cultivating the kind of beauty that cannot be photographed or photoshopped. Beauty of character and the heart. You know, there's something that frustrates me very much. And that's, I love Country Magazine. And we've gotten that for decades. But there's times where Andy and I are looking at the picture and we're like, now, is this a real picture? Or has somebody photoshopped this? Or, you know, we make those picture books and snapfish books and we just tweak, we Photoshop because we want it to look different than it really is. There's a beauty, so to speak, that we can't quite attain in this sin-cursed world. And we're always trying to tweak it and make it look different. Well, you know, there's a beauty that we can have as women that far exceeds physical beauty. And that's the beauty that the Lord talks about in His Word. And we can have that beauty, and no matter how old we get, it often gets more beautiful. We can all, actually, instead of our beauty decreasing the older we get, it can increase. Let's look also at 2 Corinthians 2, just one chapter over, and verses 14 and 15. Would somebody read that for us? Verse 14 and 15.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and in them that are saved, and in them that perish.
Thank you, Mary. Think of a moment of your favorite fragrant flower. Just call out. If you think of, what is my favorite scent of a flower? What would it be?
Lilac.
Gardenia.
Lilies of the Valley.
Lily of the Valley. Good.
Irises.
Irises? What was rose? Yes. So you all have hit on, I put four different ones down. I put a peace rose's fragrance. Oh, it's just such a gentle scent to it. And it's such a beautiful, when I was growing up, my mom had a peace rose and that beautiful yellow and orange colors and the smell of it, the scent of it. Or like someone said, oh, we just enjoy in the spring when we look at those lilac bushes and they've got those clusters of blue or white or purple flowers and we breathe in that scent. Or lilies of the valley. That's another one I remember when I was a little girl. We had lily of the valley growing outside. And oh, in May, you would just smell that fragrance. Or in the summer, the scent of lavender. I love the scent of lavender. And each one of you probably has your favorite scent as well, as were mentioned. But when we think of the beautiful fragrances, isn't that part of the beauty of the flower itself? When you think of lilac, it's not just what you see, but it's what you experience through the scent, the senses of the scent. Are we, as Christian women, are we diffusing the beauty of the fragrance of Jesus Christ from our lives? We should really make that an ambition, to emanate that fragrance of Jesus Christ. Again, I'm going to refer to page 18 of Adorned. Page 18. And Nancy says here, you see, God has placed us here on earth as ambassadors of the gospel of Christ. And our calling as His followers is to make His love and His truth visible and believable and beautiful to skeptical observers. Because they see it in us, because they see it changing us. His love making us beautiful, adorning us, and through us, adorning His gospel. But then she goes on, next couple paragraphs, she says, it is a wonderful picture, isn't it? But sadly, as you and I well know, it doesn't always work that way. We may claim to love Jesus, but for some reason, people don't always see His beauty reflected in our attitudes and actions. They don't always see in us the transforming power of His love. Instead, too often they see women who are just as overwhelmed, preoccupied, petty, or unloving as everyone else around us. And if we're honest, that's the way we sometimes see ourselves. Isn't that true? We want to aspire to the beauty of Christ, the beauty of the gospel. We want to emanate the fragrance of Christ, but sometimes we feel like we just fall so far short. What would you say are the hindrances, the greatest hindrances in your life that kind of trip you up, that maybe cause you to stumble from living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its beauty?
My boys.
Okay. Your boys, do you want to just two sentences maybe, just explain what you mean?
They don't do anything around the house. They don't help me at all. I got to do everything myself. If I want something done, I have to beg to get it done. And you get wore out by that. You get mad. You don't see God helping. And okay. It gets very frustrating.
Okay.
And then my other one was, my oldest one is on heroin. Well, he's off of it now, but he was in jail for a while, and then he was in rehab. So it was hard. It was hard. You didn't see God shining through. And my leg is killing me, and they won't even do the dishes for me. I can't stand that long. I can't sit that long. I'm going to have to get up and walk around a little bit after a while because it's starting to really hurt.
That's fine.
So
sure.
But yeah, it's a mess and a half. And then my uncle, he's blind, and I got to help him out with all his stuff, and he's getting worse. And he wants to be home by 12 today. Well, it's not going to happen. He's going to have to depend on my son.
I think you need a little break. They can take care of him for a little while, Lisa. Okay, so we hear, as Lisa is sharing, the burdens of issues within families, maybe living alongside of, living with others that are unsaved, just feeling the wearing down of ourselves. Okay, what are some other things that you would say really kind of trip us up, hinder us, cause us difficulty in being able to live out the beauty of the gospel?
I was going to say just frustrations that come up on a daily basis, but after what Lisa said, I have nothing compared to what she's living in day after day.
Okay. Yeah, it's a heavy burden. There's others of us that have other issues. Maybe it's chronic pain. I know there's at least three ladies in our church, Joanne being one of them. Chronic pain, day in, day out, day in, day out. That can really wear down on a person. Maybe for others, it's other physical problems, not just chronic pain, but other physical problems in your own life, or maybe in your family's life, and you find yourself burdened down and focusing on and praying for them intently throughout the day, and you just kind of feel worn out sometimes focusing on those things. Then there's some things that maybe are more our own fault, like addiction to social media. You know, we see everybody walking around, and you know, I used to think it was the younger generation, but quite honestly, I think it's the older generation just the same. You know, you go in a store, or you're walking down the sidewalk, and everybody's got their... But you know, as women, we have to be so careful and intentional about that, because for me, I love that little device first thing in the morning when I get up and I go into the bathroom and I get my shower and I'm trying to run through my scripture memory. Well, it's hard to bring the Bible into the humid bathroom and be trying to turn pages and so on. So I can just push the little button and I can say Titus 2, New King James Version, and it will pull that up for me. So as I'm, you know, doing whatever, shaving my legs or whatever, I'm going through my memory verse and I can quick look over and see if I am forgetting a word. It's a wonderful thing, but at the same time, it can trip me up if it goes bing, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to be getting into this stuff until I have devotions. Or maybe you're having devotions and you're praying, and all of a sudden you think of somebody that you needed to contact, and it's like, well, do I finish? You know, so social media, it can be a real hindrance. It takes discipline in our hearts. It can be an idol, yes, definitely. Other things, maybe conflict within a marriage. That can be a difficulty for some women. I know of some dear women who love the Lord. They've got tough marriages, and they're trying to live out the gospel, and they get worn down sometimes trying to live out the gospel with a husband who maybe knows the Lord or maybe doesn't know the Lord. I think another thing is time pressure. How many of us would say that time pressure is something we deal with? Yeah, I think we all deal with that. Our culture has gotten on such a fast pace that we're all running around. You know, I've heard people say, once you retire, it gets busier. And I was just really don't think that can be. Until my nest emptied and all of a sudden it was like there was all these other things that took up time. But time pressured, we run around hurried, frazzled, stressed out, not properly rested. And again, I think we've shot ourselves in the foot as Christians in America, as the Church of Jesus Christ. We live in a country where we can acknowledge, honor the Lord's Day, but how many of us find ourselves kind of, well, you know, it's the only one of Ten Commandments that isn't stated in the New Testament, so it isn't. Go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis, a creation. God established that because he knew that we were too stupid to take the rest we need. So he said, one day in seven, you need it. And because we have those earthly bodies, we feel it. And when we take one day in seven to rest, to focus on the Lord, how much richer our lives are, how much healthier our lives are, how much healthier our families are, our marriages, our churches. But it takes effort to jump over some of these hindrances and hurdles. And some we can't jump over, like some things that Lisa shared. You know, it's things that we have to pray about and wait on the Lord and endure. So we need to recognize here that although we need each other and we need to help each other in pursuing adorning the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, whether it's individually or corporately as a church, we can't master this unless we're filled with God's Holy Spirit. It really is the indwelling Holy Spirit that helps us be able to work together as a body of believers and helps us individually. So let's turn to Romans, where we see this. Paul himself, he battled with this war of the flesh, the world, and the devil, and trying to live out Christ. If somebody would read Romans 7, verses 18 and 19, and then somebody else read verses 23 to 25 of Romans 7. Who would read the first two verses? And then who would read the second section of verses? Joanne, would you read 18 and 19? And then, Karen, could you read 23 to 25 of Romans 7?
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do.
Thank you.
But I, is that right, 23?
Yes, thank you. 23 to 25.
But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God in my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin.
Thank you, ladies. Now let's take a look, jump over to Galatians 5, because right here in these verses, we see our helplessness, don't we? We see our inability to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let's look at Galatians 5, and if somebody would read 16 to 25 to us. Galatians 5, 16 to 25.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Thank you, Aaron. Well, what a contrast we see. Without the Holy Spirit, we're going to fail ourselves. We're going to resent one another. If we see somebody else who's achieving a spiritual goal and we can't seem to achieve it, because look at verse 26. It says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Without the Holy Spirit, we wind up, instead of helping one another, we're provoking one another. We're envying one another. The indwelling Holy Spirit makes all the difference in accomplishing this goal of being adorned by the gospel and adorning the gospel in our lives. Let's think for a moment of some of the women in Scripture who stand out in our minds as women who radiated the beauty of the Lord in their lives. Let's start with Old Testament. Who are some of the women that you look to as an example? Ruth, yes.
Esther.
Okay, Esther. She was a courageous woman.
Hannah,
yes, a praying woman.
Sarah,
yes, yes, a woman of faith.
Abigail,
yes. Abigail is just an amazing woman because she had that Nabal, that man that was called a son of Belial, and yet she was able to be a godly woman in spite of him.
Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth. Okay, Ruth. Let's move into the, yes, Ruth. Ruth is my favorite, virtuous woman. Yes. Anybody else in the New Testament?
Priscilla.
Okay, Priscilla. And what did Priscilla, what is she known for?
Well, her godly knowledge of
yes.
the word Priscilla and Aquila.
Right.
But they always name her first, which is very, that doesn't happen in Scripture.
Right.
They always name the male first. But in the New Testament, they put her name first.
Okay. And you know, she was a wonderful mentor, wasn't she? Helping her husband take Apollos aside and just teaching him, as Sharon said, the knowledge, the way of the Lord, good doctrine. Who else? Anybody
Mary.
Else? Mary, yes, a humble servant of God who was surrendered to God's will.
Lydia,
yes. We remember Lydia, she was the one who was by the riverside, heard the gospel, received it, was eager to then all of a sudden open her home in hospitality to the leaders.
Yes. Eunice and Lois.
Yes, Eunice and Lois. What would you say about them, Jenny?
Passing a godly heritage on to their son. Grandson.
Yes, yes. The value of godly moms and grandmothers. And Dorcas, I think of Dorcas too in the New Testament. So we have a lot of examples of older women. What were you going to say?
She's the first nurse.
Okay.
Probably Kel's nurse.
Okay.
Just saying.
Is she your favorite? So all these became older women, and they are examples of older women to us, aren't they, today? Let's take a look at 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. It's good to have these Bible examples and models. If somebody would read 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6.
Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, then, without a word, they be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling the Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror.
Thank you, Jenny. So if we are adorned by the gospel, we're going to possess a powerful beauty that can be influential in changing others' lives. In verse 1, we see it's not a verbal here. It's not the verbal power of just being a nag and just correcting and telling our husbands what they need to get. But it's actually an inner beauty. In verse 4, we see an inner beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit. And this is the beauty that comes from knowing the Lord, spending time with the Lord, spending time in the Word, the time in prayer, and time with other godly believers. And notice then in verse 5 and 6 of this passage that just as we listed different women, we're given the example of Sarah here. We're told, here's an example. And actually, it's mentioned to us, this is an older woman who had that beauty, the adornment of an inner quiet and meek spirit. And I like that phrase there where it says, whose daughters what? You are. It says, we're daughters of Sarah if we also are following her model and patterning ourselves after her life. And so we need to look at other godly examples from God's word as well as those that are around us. And really, if we're an older woman, we should aspire to become like these women so that we can be an example like Sarah, like Ruth, like Hannah. And most of us are a younger woman to someone. Most of us are a younger woman to someone, and we can learn from those older women. But I know this, all of us are an older woman to someone. Each of us here is an older woman to someone. It can be a teenage young lady. She can be babysitting and be a godly Christian model to those children that she babysits. Or maybe it's a young mom. And we just love those sounds. They're precious. Passing on the word of God to the next generation by a godly mom. A young married mom can be an example to a teen. A teenager can be looking at her lifestyle. So each of us can be an older woman to somebody. And that is really important that we realize that. We don't just say, okay, when I start looking in the mirror and seeing the white, then all of a sudden I'm an older woman. No, each of us is an older woman to someone. And it's our responsibility to come alongside of them and help pass the gospel on to the next generation. Sunday school teachers, the same thing. You know, you're being that pattern to younger children. So as we take up this study for the next 9 months, I would like us to take up a challenge. And I want to read from Nancy Lee DeMoss's book again, page 24, where she kind of lays out her own challenge. She says, years ago, when I first began preparing to teach on this theme, I read this short book of the Bible scores of times, meaning Titus. Meditating on it, memorizing it, pondering individual words, letting my spirit soak in it. I hope you'll do the same. Read it over and over again, all three chapters at first, to give you the overall setting. Then narrowing down to chapter 2 with special emphasis on verses 3 through 5. Immerse yourself in the text and its meaning, because this is a passage you and I need to get. The more we let it define our lives and relationships, the more lovely Christ will be to us, and the more clearly the beauty of his gospel will shine through us to others. And I found it valuable reading the whole book, and it is a short book. It doesn't take a lot of time, really, to read Titus. But it was valuable because I got to see the whole picture. What was Paul addressing? He was addressing Titus' responsibility to set in order the church, to get leadership in order, to help each segment of the church understand what their calling was, so to speak. And I would encourage you that as we lead up to the Bible study each month, that you take that week and maybe in addition to your Bible reading, if you're on a strict Bible reading plan, or maybe you're not, and you have that flexibility. Take a couple days before we gather and read Titus 2, or read the whole book of Titus to get the bigger picture. And for me, it was hard to say, okay, we're going to memorize this one verse in Titus 2, so I'm trying to memorize the chapter of Titus 2 during this study, because that will help me to just really get it into my mind and submerge my thinking. So whatever God might lay on you, it might be just to simply read chapter 2 of Titus the day before our Bible study. Maybe for another woman, you might want to try to memorize the chapter of Titus 2. Notice in Titus 2:10b, when addressing the bondservants, Paul says, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in what?
All things.
This little word all is quite a challenge to us. And as we go through the Bible study, I'm sure that God's Spirit can point out to each one of us one or more areas in which we need to bring our lives more under the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ and its doctrine and adorn it before the world. So ask the Lord, pray and ask the Lord, show me. Ask the Lord to open our eyes as a group as we study, that His Spirit will challenge each one of us to live out the gospel in all its beauty, in all the details of the nitty-gritty life when we're not here together, when we feel worn out, when we feel discouraged. So ask the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of us, to minister to one another.